Family life is rooted in the unconditional love of God, as witnessed by the Holy Family. Culturally speaking, families on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for Passover, they traveled in two groups, one for the men and one for the women. Children were allowed to travel in either group. So of great concern and anxiousness when they realized Jesus was missing, you can get a better understanding of how it could have happened. Both father and mother have a role to play in raising their children. Take Joseph, for example. At one point, he was ready to quietly divorce Mary, but the angel of the Lord came upon him, and because of his love for God and Mary, he was obedient and honored his role in life. As Jesus reached adolescence, Joseph was primarily responsible for his upbringing. Saint Jose Maria Escriva says, "The greatest male saint who ever lived was not a priest, not a bishop, not a pope. He was a husband, father, and a worker." Our Mother Mary herself, visited by an angel, faithfully said yes to God, not knowing all that would transpire, but was obedient and trusted God. This faith was the basis of her generous fidelity throughout her whole life. Culturally, in the early years of Jesus' life, boys were highly valued and pampered by their mothers. Once Jesus reached adolescence, her role would diminish for some time. After Joseph's death and when Jesus began his public ministry, Mary would accompany him along with his close disciples. It's been said the gospel probably took place as Jesus was transitioning from his mother's primary care to his father. Remember, Jesus' sole mission on earth was to save a broken world and carry out the wishes of God. This is something his parents didn't understand at the time when they encountered him at the temple as he questioned their concern. Raising children has never been easy, and none are born with owner manuals. Were there times when you were confused by your children's behavior? Luke tells us that Jesus went with them to Nazareth, was obedient with them, advancing in wisdom, age, and favor before God and man. The book of Sirach offers a core teaching in that honoring one's parents is to be in right relationship with them and with God. Sirach states, "Honor to parents is required through one's lifetime, even when parents reach an old age." I hope your children are listening. Our families have often been called the domestic church. It's the first encounter children have with their faith, the gospel message, customs of Christian life. It's a place where children learn through imitation and example. The lesson for each of us: how do we raise families to live in today's gospel message of unconditional love and obedience, like Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were obedient to God and to one another? Do we as parents teach our children values and traditions consistent with our faith, as the secular world offers a very different message of what's most important in life? Do we respond by simply reacting with emotion, or responding in a faith-filled manner to their needs and their concerns? Previously, I'd read a note that said, "Respond to your children with love in their worst moments, their broken moments, their angry moments, their selfish moments, their frustrated moments, their inconvenient moments, because it's in their most unlovable human moments that they are most need to be loved." As St. Paul teaches us, put on God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, with heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Depending on where you live, the culture and shapes of family has evolved over my lifetime and yours. In the U.S., our families used to live in same ethnic neighborhoods, providing for one another. Churches like our village church are all within walking distance. Parents and young adults used to live next to their grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Contrast that to today's world where our children grow up, some go to college, and look for careers all over the country. Some shoot jobs in cities far away, losing their day-to-day touches with their parents and their siblings. Now they embrace new forms of family with coworkers and hopefully others at their new church. At one time, our three children lived in three different states. Has this happened to any of you? When I think of the Holy Family and their influence on each of us, I can't help but think of the most important family, this church family right here today. Like Jesus, we're called to grow in wisdom and faith, using it to advance the needs of the faithful, both here at our parish and throughout our community. Through our time, talents, and treasures, our parish flourishes because of all of us. In outreach, we support local, regional, and international organizations. In faith, we visit the shut-ins, those in nursing homes. We look after and care for one another. Taking the gospel message to heart, our faith becomes our lifestyle. Loving and supporting each other physically, emotionally, and financially. As a parish family, we are the extension of Christ for one another. As St. John acknowledges, we're not merely called children of God, we actually are children of God. We are all family. The family of the church, like our own families, are a gift from the God who loves us. So what's it mean to be called a child of God? Today we witness the baptism of Brody John as he joins us as a child of God, now one with us in the Lord forever. As a parish family, may we offer our support to him as he grows in the faith of Christ. Each of us may experience a few difficulties or uncertainties throughout our lives, but together with Christ and here as one family, we're hopeful, faithful, we're strong, and we're united. May we continue to pray for the needs of all families. Look to our Mother Mary for guidance, St. Joseph for support, and live fully as the children of God, as Jesus has destined for all of us. Amen.